Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Jesus Podcast. This is Steve Hoos Benson, the host of the podcast. We're riding the rodeo of religion and life. This is episode 57. Today, I want to explore what it means to die with dignity, death with dignity. For the past two episodes, I've been exploring the whole notion of soul after suicide. I've made it, hopefully by now, abundantly clear that if your loved one ends their life, they do not go to hell. This is a very important concept for me, as I've been with so many people who have wrestled with this notion. And, I go as far as to say those who choose to end their life are not damned people. They are dignified people. In their suffering and pain, they stand dignified before God. God welcomes them into the kingdom of God after their death. Well, today, I wanted to talk about the ramifications of a dignified death by exploring the concept of death with dignity and then euthanasia. Technically, when a terminal person chooses to die with dignity, they are choosing to voluntarily end their lives, or we might say complete suicide. Think about that. Have you thought about that? If someone chooses death with dignity, they are choosing to voluntarily end their lives. You could say that they are choosing to complete suicide. Okay, so slowly our society is coming to accept death with dignity as a choice people can make to end their life. When their suffering has become too much, and slowly states are passing legislation allowing doctors to assist in death. Colorado, my home state, legalized death with dignity, and it went into effect in December 2016. I wonder if you know of anybody who has chosen to end their lives with death with dignity. I contemplate death, my own death. You've heard me do podcasts about my views about death. I've also helped other people contemplate their death and what it means to bring their life to an end. And I believe death with dignity is something that we should thoroughly understand what it is and what it isn't, and how we can apply it to our lives. What does our religion say about it? What does our society say about it? So when it comes to a point where we might need to make this choice, or someone we love might need to make this choice, we know exactly what it is that we're choosing to do. All right, let's dive in. The first thing I want to do is I want to distinguish between what is euthanasia and what is death with dignity. They're both very similar, but they're very different. Euthanasia, it comes from the Greek word euthanatos, which means a quiet and easy death. The purpose of euthanasia is to ensure that a person doesn't suffer, medical, emotional, or spiritual trauma at the time of death, and they are instead assured a quiet and easy end of life. Death with dignity and euthanasia are similar, yet very different. Now pay attention to this. In death with dignity, a physician provides a prescription for a drug that brings about death, but the individual alone must take the medication. This is a key thing to grasp. The person themselves must administer the drug. No one can assist them. Not a doctor, not a loved one. The person themselves must be able to take the drug themselves. In euthanasia, here's the difference. In euthanasia, the doctor is the one that prescribes and administers the medication. In other words, if a person is rendered unable due to the nature of their disease and cannot actively pick up a drug and take it, a doctor can assist by actually bringing the death to an end by an injection, by forcing a pill, something, but the doctor administers it. That's euthanasia. Some people think that it is a slim difference between those two, but it is a huge one. because euthanasia is, by definition, could be described as murder. Hence, there are a number of laws blocking euthanasia because it slips into this category of death with dignity. You know, someone does it on their own. Euthanasia, the doctor administers it. Suddenly, we classify a doctor doing euthanasia as being murder, and it's outlawed, like a loved one can't give the person the medications. That's murder. The person has to do it on their own. It is illegal for a doctor or loved one to administer a lethal dose of medication. And this is critical for someone who's contemplating death with dignity because they must choose to do this while they still have the capacity to lift their hand and swallow pills. You know, to qualify for death with dignity, a person must be terminal, they must be within 6 months left to live, and they must have the signatures of two different doctors who agree with the diagnosis of terminal illness within 6 months. And after only these three requirements met, can a prescription be filled out and given to an individual. So there's a lot of work that has to be done for someone who is contemplating death with dignity. It has to be terminal, 6 months. They have to have two doctors sign off. There's all different kinds of preventatives that are put in place. However, the law is very controversial. I always wondered about the controversy. You know, just think about this. Maybe you thought about this as well. I'm an animal lover. You know, my life is filled with horses, dogs, cats. You know, and over my life with animals, I've wrestled with the challenge of knowing when to end my animal's suffering. My best example is Sundance, my yellow lab. He was just, his name captured his personality. He loved to romp and play, retrieve, hike, sit, sleep. He was game for literally anything. But then as Sundance aged, his hips weakened, he lost his bladder control. He could barely move around. I called the vet for a checkup, and we had a great vet, still the same vet. And she came, and she said, you know, the end is close. And I asked her, how would I know when the time was right to put him down? I'll never forget her answer. She said, he'll look in your eyes, and he'll say through his eyes, the suffering is too much. It's time for the end. In that moment, you'll know. And I'll never forget when Sundance looked at me and I knew. He told me the suffering was too much. It was time to let go. And I didn't want Sundance to suffer anymore. You know, I knew it was time. I called up Kim, the vet, and she came and we sat and I held him. And we brought his life to a dignified end. It was a moving moment. And I've walked the same road with countless of animals over the years. I've done it with horses, dogs. I've done it with cats. I've done it with a goat. I've done it with a pig. I've done it with all different kinds of things. We don't want our animals to suffer. We believe it's unethical. Then if you take this notion, if we don't want our animals to suffer, why would we want our human friends to suffer? You know, I've seen the same look on people that I saw on Sundance's face. They looked and said, the suffering, it's too much. It's time to come to an end. Why can't we do this for people? You know, actually, there are several arguments that that people make or that the culture makes against death with dignity. And these are arguments that people in Colorado wrestled with as we were debating the legislation to allow death with dignity. Here, let me just kind of go with them. And some of them are really good arguments. So let me just kind of read through them, and then I'll offer my own insight. Argument one, death with dignity challenges the medical community's pledge to heal those in their care. All right, I disagree with that. Doctors, I know, make the pledge to heal those in their care, but they need to come to a point where they need to say that as doctors, their caring for an individual means allowing for a peaceful end to their life. They have to come to some point where they say, enough. We can do no more. The time has come to end your life. Let me assist you. You know, doctors, some doctors have a terrible time talking about death and giving up on somebody. But they have to. Continually extending a person's life by pumping them full of medications and going to extreme measures, unless the person wants that. And some people do want that, and that should be offered to them. But for people who don't want that, they should be offered the option to end their life in a dignified way. All right, second argument against. Death with dignity becomes a slippery slope leading people with disabilities or other vulnerable individuals to end their lives, fearing they have become a burden. Okay, I'll concede this is a huge argument. We do not want people who are terminal or who have disabilities to feel they are a burden. Now, I have walked this personally in my own life with my mother-in-law and with my father who passed away. I have to tell you, it takes a tremendous amount of work to come around people who are dying. If you have had a loved one die, and if they have been in hospice, you know how much work emotionally, physically, spiritually it takes to come around people who are dying. But just because it takes time and effort doesn't mean we should be foisting death with dignity on someone with the thought of, come on, hurry up, let's get this over with. Can't you just die and get it over with? No. The concern is that caregivers for people with disabilities or vulnerable individuals could pressure those in their care to end their life prematurely, even if it's a couple months prematurely. They should not, people who are terminal should not be put in the position of, come on, let's get this over with. You know, this is a moral and ethical issue that we must be taking into consideration before consenting to death with dignity. We need to make sure that people, before they voluntarily end their life, do not feel as though they are a burden and they're doing this to ease somebody else's work to care for them. So I really agree with that. Okay, another argument. Death with dignity and euthanasia are non-issues because there are adequate drug, palliative, and hospice care mitigating pain and suffering. You know, this just isn't the case. I can tell you numerous stories where people suffered tremendously at the end of their lives, and there was no amount of care to mitigate the suffering. You know, I think of people who die with diseases such as MS, Parkinson's, and ALS. You know, if you've ever watched someone die of these diseases, you know the suffering, and you know that palliative care and hospice care did not mitigate the suffering. They just suffered, and they needed some way, somehow, to end their lives. Some people argue death with dignity opens the doors to non-consensual euthanasia. Now, that's just not going to happen. There are laws prohibiting this. You know, as I said, I believe at some point we need to come to terms with doctors allowing to administer lethal doses, but we're just not there. You know, there have been several times where I've thought, here, give me this syringe and I'll bring this suffering to an end. I think a lot of doctors wouldn't hesitate to bring the suffering to an end, but it's illegal. So it's not opening the door to non-consensual euthanasia. That's just not there. Okay, another argument. Death with dignity may lead to a suicide contagion where the desire to end life sweeps through communities. I think this is a dumb argument. This is just, it just doesn't happen. You know, there hasn't been since the law in Colorado, people have just like suddenly said, I'm gonna end my life. In fact, the interesting thing is that the people who qualify for death with dignity drugs get them and never take them. You know, they have them as an insurance policy in case the suffering becomes too much. But they often don't take it. They choose to allow their death to take its own course, but they want it there as insurance. No one is lining up by the hordes to take the medications for death with dignity. So I think that's a non-argument. All right. Let's see, next one. A final argument is society should support and legislate laws and ethical standards to promote life at all levels. These people see, you know, they see death with dignity as counter to this promotion of life. I see this as backwards. Death with dignity promotes life in that death is a part of life. You know, we're seeing the effects of these laws that promote life at all costs and the passing of the anti-abortion laws. You know, I don't know where you stand with that. If you've read my blogs, you know where I stand with that. I believe that government should butt out of the decisions that individuals make about their life, their bodies, and their death. Nobody can make these decisions for people. People themselves should be able to choose when and how to end their lives, when and what is best for their bodies. All right. So those are the basic arguments from a socio-cultural perspective. What about religion? I've done a lot of research about religion and what the religions teach about death with dignity. First of all, let me just kind of walk you through the Abrahamic views of death with dignity, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Okay, first Jewish. All three branches of Judaism, Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform, oppose a quiet and peaceful death, especially euthanasia. Their argument is similar to voluntary death, i.e. suicide. They say life is a sacred gift from God. It is God's will and choice when to begin life and when to terminate life. If a human being actively ends their life or ends another person's life, even to mitigate suffering, he or she opposes the divine imperative. So Judaism stands against death with dignity, although I'd be interested to see do some research on how this has changed since 2016 when the law came into place and more people have been able to choose it. Peaceful and easy death is condemned by the Pope. Pope Francis denounced euthanasia and death with dignity as a sin against God, a false sense of compassion, reprehensible, and absurdity. Man, Pope Francis, get off. Where are you getting off? I know the Catholic Church and their stance on pro-life, but man, that's a hard stance to take. You know, Protestant denominations, though, Protestant Christian denominations join the Pope, Assemblies of God, Baptists, Evangelical, Lutheran, Episcopal, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Methodists, they all denounce any form of assisted death. They argue that it opposes the gift of life that ultimately belongs to God. The Presbyterian Church USA, my lodge, they're in active dialogue on the issue, and but they oppose a quiet and peaceful death. The United Church of Christ, one of the denominations here at Columbine, is the only denomination that actively supports an individual's right to end their life in a way that brings peace and equanimity. What's interesting is that Judaism and Christianity, while they oppose death with dignity and euthanasia, they allow individuals and families to refuse medical treatment in the late stages of terminal illness. They, in other words, when it's become too much, like when death is imminent and they're going to die within, you know, a day or a week, that they can say, all right, we can refuse treatment at this point. They don't believe people should artificially extend their life by days, weeks, or months through artificial support. You know, they say that it is okay for somebody to voluntarily end their life. And I wonder, why are people forced to wait until the last moment? In other words, why can't they choose this option months before they reach this point of final suffering? How come they can't say, you know, 4, 5, 6 months into it, no, my suffering is too much. I do not want to wait until the final moment to stop all forms of support. Why can't we assist people 6 months, and I even say longer than that, but I'll go with the 6 months and work with the law that's given me. All right, Islam. Islam is adamantly opposed to quiet and peaceful death. The Quran states, and here's a quote, "Do not take life, which Allah made sacred, other than in the course of justice. If anyone kills a person, unless it is for murder or spreading mischief in the land, it would be as if he killed the whole people. It is Allah's prerogative alone to determine when a person should die, and no person can ever die except by Allah's leave and at an appointed time." So this is from the Quran 1732, 532, and 3145. If you want to look it up with a direct quote, but just take my word for it. You know, there have been many rulings on points of Islamic law, fatwas, by Islamic scholars stating that Islam is opposed to euthanasia. Some Islamic scholars believe that suffering and pain can potentially be beneficial for a soul as it cleanses the person from past sins before their death. So that's Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. You know, what's interesting is some of the pagan and indigenous earth traditions really support death with dignity. They see, like Wicca sees death as a part of life, a part of the cycle of life, and they honor an individual's choice. If a life comes to an end, it is their choice when and how to bring their death, their life to an end through a voluntary death. So indigenous religions, pagan religions support death with dignity and encourage their followers, if this is what they choose to do, to pursue death with dignity. You know, there's a Hindu scholar that I really respect. His name is S. Cromwell Crawford. He's written several books on Hindu ethics. And when I was reading through one of his texts, I found a question that I believe was very important to understand. He says, he quotes, this is the quote, he said, God, he quotes Mahatma Gandhi, that's what it is, he quotes Gandhi. He says, "God comes to a hungry man in the form of a slice of bread." He then asks, "So then in what form does God come to a person begging to die?" Okay, let me restate that. God comes to a hungry man in the form of a slice of bread. In what form, then, does God come to a person begging to die? You know, I find that question humbling. It's hard to imagine someone begging to die. But it's true. Some people beg to die. When their suffering has become too much, they beg to die. Sometimes this suffering is emotional and existential. Life has lost its meaning. The struggle has gone on for too long. They are indeed suffering. They beg to end their life. I have had people sit in my office and beg to die. The only thing holding back was their fear of hell. And I cleared that up for them. The crazy thing is that in the conversation where I cleared up that they were not going to go to hell, if I determined that they were indeed lethal and that they were going to imminently kill themselves, I'm required by law not to let them out of my sight and call the police and stay with them until the police arrive. So they're begging to die. I can remove their fear of death, and then I have to call the cops. I just think there's something so wrong with that. But that kind of goes beyond the purview of this podcast. Let me keep on going. You know, so what does God look like for someone begging to die? Does God come to them and say, "Hang on, it's going to get better"? You know, in some ways, I know God says this. Our God is a God of hope. I think God does say to people who are suffering, "Hang on, hang in. It's going to get better. Your life will get better." But I also know at some point, as much as I might want to tell the person to not give up, I also come to the place where I realize it's not my place to foist this on the person. It's their life and their death, and therefore, I think it's their choice. I mean, does God, who give us free will, cancel our ability to choose at this most critical juncture of life and death? Does God damn us if we choose to end our lives? I argue, no, God doesn't damn us. I think God honors our choice, and if we so choose to end our life and death with dignity, God comes to us in the form of two doctors signing off. God comes to us in the form of a doctor who will be willing to administer the prescription drug, which I know is illegal, but I believe God would come to a person who is begging to die in that form. God comes to a person begging to die in the form of prescriptions that they can take. God comes to the form of in the form of someone to begging to die as someone who is merciful, just, and compassionate. You know, I've known two people who have ended their life with death with dignity. One was a person who suffered from Parkinson's for, as long as I knew him. I mean, I knew him for, at least 20 years, 15 or 20 years. And when I first met him, he had just been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And he was a man who was full of life. He was very successful in his chosen career. He was admired by many, many people here in the Southwest metro area. But those of us who knew him, we saw his disease advance. It got to the point where he knew where his disease was going, and he didn't want to die unable to move, breathe, or swallow. Unbeknownst to all of us, he got two doctors to sign off. He got the prescription. He gathered his family and friends around him. He said goodbye and ended his life. It was quick. It was sudden. When the family announced it, people were in shock that he had actually ended his life this way. But I thought to myself, you know what? Good for you. God bless you in your choice. I'm not in your shoes. I'm not going to judge you. You know, I wouldn't want to die with Parkinson's or ALS or MS either. You know, these people with these diseases, they get to choose. Some of them choose to fight to the bitter end, and God bless them. That's their choice. We, as her family and loved ones in the medical community, should come around them as they choose to engage their illness. But if someone chooses other than that, we should also come around them. I have another friend who's in a wheelchair, suffers with MS. I've talked with him for throughout the years, and he wants his life to end. However, he's not terminal. He's not going to die within the next 6 months. He can't get doctors to sign off, so he sits and suffers. We talk about, you know, the different options available to him about if he was going to end his life, how would he do it? And he said, well, really his only option is to take his wheelchair and drive it down a flight of stairs. I mean, how crazy is this? But he doesn't want his life to end in a violent way. What if he tries it and he doesn't kill himself? Can you imagine dying, falling down a flight of stairs? I just think that's terrible. What does God look like for someone like this? Does God say, you know, your suffering isn't enough yet, you must wait? Does God turn the divine back on my friend, you know? Or does God look upon him with mercy and compassion? Should someone like this be offered death with dignity? You know, I know where I stand. I mean, what about you? You know, as you contemplate the end of your life, what do you think about death with dignity? Would you offer it to your spouse who is terminal? What if you had an adult child who was terminal? Would you help them explore death with dignity? You know, I don't think it's appropriate for children in any way, shape, or form. I think that that's way too hard. And I think that it's a different conversation completely for children. Maybe that's a different podcast altogether. But an adult child who has a terminal illness, yeah, I think that we need to engage a loving conversation if that's where they want to go. Personally, I'm glad that Colorado passed the Death with Dignity legislation. I'm glad it will be an option for me and my loved ones when it comes my time to die. You know, I think about this. Would I ever take the pills? I don't know. I might be one of those who just want it as an insurance in case my suffering became too much. But at least I know it's there. What does God look like to me when it comes my time to die? God looks merciful and full of love. All right. That's enough for this episode of the Cowboy Jesus podcast. I want to encourage you to read my blog, Cowboy Jesus. Also, it's published on Fridays. You can either sign up for the blog or you can catch it on Facebook, on my Facebook page, Rev Steve Poos Benson, on the church's Facebook page. I also have a professional page, Dr. Steve Poos Benson. You can find it there as well. Also watch my video Wednesday shout-outs. They come on the church's e-blast, Columbine United Church's e-blast. They're also on my Facebook page and on my YouTube channel. All right, take care. We'll see you.